Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on this morning with Dan Behrens, who's the Senior Vice President in the Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. Dan, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me back.
I got a lot to talk to you about today, from Metra stations to Bears to wood construction, but I want to start with this Metra overhaul. The Grayland station in Irving Park is getting an overhaul. There's some construction work on the Metra station that's there, and the railroad bridge over Milwaukee Avenue, and also some road projects in the city of Chicago. What's happening here, and how important is it to have these Metra upgrades?
This is hugely important. I mean, I think with the infrastructure that is becoming a hot topic in Washington right now, infrastructure improvements are an absolute necessity. I mean, I think if only enormous tragedy can happen with, you know, if any of these bridges and tunnels continue to deteriorate. I mean, you see news stories on the investigative journalists on 2579 about, you know, the crumbling infrastructures, particularly around the city. It can have a huge effect. I remember a number of years ago, there was a bridge collapse up in, I believe it was Northbrook. I financed a project right around the corner from a railroad overpass actually collapsed near Shermer and I think Willow. You know, that could have huge, you know, year-long effect trying to completely rebuild a bridge that collapses. Obviously, that's a rare instance, but with how old some of the infrastructure is around the city in the state, bridge collapse is certainly a something that no one wants to contend with. You know, I think the ramifications that could happen, especially with, you know, at least in my world, the commercial real estate world, is, you know, if you're located adjacent to a bridge or something like that, and if you have a catastrophe that happens, you know, it can put your business or it can put you out of business for a number of years while this stuff is being rebuilt. You know, even just thinking in the city with what they're doing with the downtown Dan Ryan, they closed a bunch of the entrance ramps and the exit ramps onto the Ryan in the downtown area. I don't know how the businesses that are right around there are dealing with, you know, you have the one-way traffic. You can't get to the certain businesses that are adjacent to the Dan Ryan with all the bridge closures that they're reworking. So I think it's a smart step by Metra and the city to get into, you know, getting out ahead of any issues that they're going to have with crumbling infrastructure.
Yeah, this one bridge that we're talking about was built in 1899. That makes it about 122 years old. There's a lot of old infrastructure on the transportation area in Chicago. And so these improvements, as you've mentioned, are important, not only for now, but the future as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the sheer catastrophe that could happen is just not worth it. You know, it's best for the local governments and the federal government to find funds to improve the infrastructure. I mean, you know, it was a number of years ago that also happened, the bridge collapse in Minneapolis, right? I mean, that's certainly something that people, I'm sure, won't forget for quite a long time, and no one wants to have those tragedies happen again.
Yeah, the White House said yesterday that there are 12 countries ahead of the United States in terms of infrastructure spending, rebuilding their infrastructure and sort of getting, you know, the necessary stuff in place to move into the future. For competitiveness alone, that's a huge deal for our country, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, everyone talks about how the supply chain is broken. I mean, Lord knows what would happen if bridges continue to crumble and, you know, overpasses. If you can't get trucks, if you can't get rail to different parts of the country, you know, that's what a broken supply chain would be. Not, you know, because of the glitches we have now, it would be, you know, the crumbling infrastructure would grind the move of goods completely. It would grind it completely to a halt.
Yeah, I want to transition to the recent news surrounding the potential move of the Bears to Arlington Heights. They purchased Arlington International Racecourse, and all of the discussion seems to be pointing to a Bears' eventual move there. Talk to us a little bit about how that move might threaten commercial real estate development in and around Soldier Field and parts of downtown Chicago, and what that might mean for the suburbs.
You know, it's really hard to tell right now, Steve. I think, you know, with the Bears being under contract to buy Arlington, this could be you know, years off. Obviously, even to construct a new stadium, if they were to, you know, go through the process, you know, we're talking at least probably 2025, 2026 at the earliest. You know, there's still a long way to go. It still even remains to be seen if Arlington Heights really wants the Bears in the traffic and the congestion and the construction in that in the town of Arlington Heights and the other surrounding suburbs. You know, I think it could have some big impacts, especially in the South Loop Museum campus area, but may not all be negative. You know, I think with I think it's Bob Dunn, the gentleman who owns, I think it's Landmark Properties. You know, he proposed that One Central, which is over the train tracks that are immediately west of Lakeshore Drive, you know, right by Soldier Field. I think with the amount of congestion and traffic that gets to Soldier Field and the chaos it is getting in and out of Soldier Field and the difficulty, because obviously there's only a couple of ways to access Soldier Field with it being right on the lakefront. Obviously it's a beautiful place, a beautiful setting to see a game. But I think with, you know, the infrastructure that Landmark is proposing to put in immediately west of the Soldier Field, you know, I think that would be a huge plus. It'll add, at least in terms of for the city and for the Bears, it'll add additional metro and connections with the CTA, just because right now there's no easy way for public transportation to get to Soldier Field. I think the closest is the red and orange line that are at Roosevelt in Wabash. So even then you have call it a couple mile walk from Roosevelt to the stadium. And if you're talking about moving the Bears out to Arlington Heights, you have a train line there. You have access to I-90. You have highway access. You know, it becomes a lot more easy for, or a lot easier for people to get to and from Bears games, including with public transportation. You know, I think it's hard to say the impact it would have on the city. I mean, the Bears only play, call it, 10 games a year at Soldier Field. That's including two preseason games, which are, you know, fairly have fairly low attendance. You know, so it's a long way off, but I'd be interested to see what happens. I'm interested, obviously, to see how this plays out over the next couple of years. But, you know, it could have some big time implications for Arlington Heights with the amount they'd be able to build in and around that stadium.
Yeah, as somebody who knows very well, has lots of insight into what it takes to build projects like these and get funding for them and how much they cost, talk to us a little bit about the cost of all of this for the Bears. I mean, if they move to Arlington Heights, they're going to have to build a new stadium. There's probably infrastructure that'll have to be put in there. That's not a cheap undertaking, is it?
No, absolutely not. So I think they're under contract now to buy Arlington for $197 million. That alone is a huge price tag. And I think they, you know, the things I've been hearing are costs to develop a stadium are north of $2 billion. You know, the McCaskey family, the owners of the Bears, they're not independently wealthy. They don't have billions of dollars that they've earned through outside businesses. Their whole business is the Bears. They don't have the, at least it would be my guess, they probably don't have the funds to put down $2 billion to build a brand new stadium. Obviously, the Village of Arlington Heights or surrounding communities would have to kick in quite a bit of money for the infrastructure improvements. But, you know, with the size of Arlington now, you know, a lot of that infrastructure could be in place right now. But, you know, there's a ton of land. I can't remember how much. I think it's over 300 acres. You know, that'd be plenty of room for a football stadium, parking lots. And the Bears would be able to sell off other pieces of that to real estate developers if they want to build hotels and if they want to build retail and apartments. I think that would be a huge way to kind of activate that whole 300 acres in Arlington Heights. It'll kind of do what other sports stadiums have done and other sports cities have done. We've talked about this in the past. I think in St. Louis, they were building kind of a park around Busch Stadium. And I know they do it out in Boston near Fenway Park. And you know, the risk with the city is if they think, well, it's the Chicago Bears, they're not going to leave Chicago. There are plenty of stadiums around the NFL that, you know, they're outside of the city. The New York Giants play in New Jersey. SoFi Stadium was built for the Rams and Chargers. That's in Inglewood, California. It's not in Los Angeles. So I think that certainly is a possibility. But you know, there is And I, like you said earlier, funding. I mean, how do they fund a $2 billion stadium? Obviously, some of the costs come from the NFL, or some of the money would come from the NFL. But I think there are specialty lenders that finance these projects, because certainly this isn't something that you know, your normal bank that you see on the corner of your street is going to help finance. So there's a lot of things that need to be done before any kind of move to Arlington Heights actually happens.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any, at least right now, it doesn't sound like the state is willing to consider using taxpayer money for any of this either.
No, the city is still paying for the renovations to a cost for the Bears to land that spaceship in between the colonnades at Soldier Field now. So I don't think the state or the city or, you know, certainly not the city, but the state wouldn't be all that eager to be adding in too much money, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of other things. Part of this is the, you know, developing an entertainment complex on that site, more than just a stadium. You talked about a hotel. So there are lots of cool potential ideas in play for this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, with a clean slate, a clean 300 acres to build, I think there's a million different things that people can put up, you know, to kind of make this a huge activity center for Arlington Heights and the surrounding suburbs, not just 8 or 10 games a year for the Bears. I think, you know, it would drive a lot more business. It drives a lot more retail, entertainment uses would love to be in and around a professional football stadium.
Dan, I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about the Great Chicago Fire and wood construction in Chicago. This is the week that we remember the Great Chicago Fire, and there's a story that something called mass timber construction is becoming more widely used in the U.S. We saw a new building built in Milwaukee that has a lot of wood in it, and there are designs in play for a building in Chicago, an 80-story skyscraper in the south, along the south branch of the Chicago River that employs some of this wood technology, mass timber technology. Talk to us a little bit about this. It's a cool story. What is mass timber?
So mass timber is kind of an engineered wood product. It's not the normal 2x4 you could pick up at Home Depot, which, you know, everyone has a worry or a trepidation in their mind. Well, if we still start building buildings, apartment buildings, office buildings with timber, aren't they all just going to burn down like the Chicago Fire? Well, these products are completely different. It's not just your basic 2x4 or, you know, logs you throw in your fire at the fireplace. You know, this is engineered wood. It's been fire treated. It's been engineered so it doesn't burn. It chars. So I think, you know, the fears or worry that second Great Chicago Fire, a catastrophe that'll burn down buildings and neighborhoods, just isn't even in the realm of possibility with this kind of engineered wood. I think it's wood that's been laminated and pressed together. So it's extremely rigid. It's extremely hard. It can withstand the weight of, you know, new buildings. I think you said it was an 18-story building that they're building in Milwaukee. I think it's super cool. I think, you know, I've seen some of the renderings of these buildings, and I believe a Chicago architecture firm did some kind of rendering to do something similar to this around Chicago, and they say they can go up, you know, multiple stories. You know, updated building code throughout the country, I think you can go up to, I can't remember, the 15 or 20 stories. I think it'd be really interesting to see something like that in the city, with how kind of forward thinking Chicago has been since the Great Chicago Fire. We're known as an architecture city. We have a beautiful skyline, and I think if you can add a different element to that with a wood skyscraper, it would only enhance the stature of Chicago architecture throughout the country and throughout the world.
Yeah, we want to tell people that it's not completely wood. There are still elevator shafts and that are made of concrete. There are other parts of the building made of concrete that are still steel and glass. But the idea of this hybrid construction, what is it? Is it more cost effective and more environmentally friendly?
It seems like it. That's what they say. At least that's what, you know, kind of the writers of these stories seem to believe. Cost effective, I don't know. With what we've talked about in the past, with lumber shortages, you know, it's certainly a possibility. Maybe during most normal times, it would probably be more cost effective, depending on the kind of wood they use. Obviously, it could be a little more sustainable than concrete and steel. But I think it's certainly something interesting, and for it to be a different construction material to be used, I would say it certainly opens up the material kind of playbook for developers to be able to build something a little more unique.
All right, Dan, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. Thanks, Steve. Feel free. People can call my office phone number, 312-544-4657, or always email daniel.behrens@associatedbank.com.
Dan, thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Sounds great. Thanks, Steve.